You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens, hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained as we talk about the Montreal Canadiens. Yes, even in the depths of summer, you better believe it. We've got a great show for you today. Lots of new information to cover and a really intriguing big topic to sink our teeth into coming up later in the show. But first, my name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show for episode 356 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's show is titled Habs Center of Attention. Who solves the Canadiens 2C puzzle? That's right. We're going to get into that second line center discussion today. And it's lots to talk about there. But of course, I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, who is the founder and president here at Rocket Sports. That's Mr. Rick Stevens. And how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you very much.
It's midsummer, as you said, and there's lots of people out in the golf course. Some of our listeners, lots of NHLers, and there was a tournament in Quebec City that we actually got some news from where there are some NHLers. You didn't want to be... Listen, if you see an NHLer on a golf course this summer, if you're lucky enough, wherever you happen to be, just leave them be. I mean, maybe politely ask for an autograph. I've seen NHLers on a golf course. You just be polite. You just leave them alone. I've been mistaken for an NHLer.
Yes,
on a golf course. That was, my dad was put in a funny situation when they asked, do you think he'd mind if we asked him for an autograph? But not so polite.
And if an NHL player asks you if they can play through because you're taking forever, then just let them play through.
Yeah. Yeah, fisticuffs on a Red Deer golf course, and that viral video was circulating this week. And oddly enough, there's a Canadiens connection in that Nick Tarnaski had a stop with the Montreal Canadiens, played for the Hamilton Bulldogs for the 2013-14 season. In 76 games for Hamilton, 13 goals, 9 assists, 22 points, but more importantly, 144 minutes in penalties. Somebody didn't do their stats homework before they decided to take on Mr. Tarnaski, who's 6'2", 230 thereabouts, maybe even a little bit more now since his playing days are over, and it didn't turn out very well.
I mean, for me, let's just all parties involved, let's just behave better in public on a golf course. Cause I'm not saying that Nick Tarnaski, like, yes, this guy was being not so very nice. But I think Tarnaski took things way too far as well. So I'm just going to leave my opinions on that right there at the door. But my goodness, certainly making the rounds now in summer news.
We talked about my interaction with Sakagoivu, where he actually rammed me with a golf cart. We talked about that last week. It didn't go anywhere like this. Well, this went at all.
No,
it was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be civilized, people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be civilized. We do have a lot to talk about today. We've got roster news to talk about, believe it or not. We've got prospect news to talk about, believe it or not. We've even got some...
Did I say rammed with a golf cart? No, I was thinking golf. It was a shopping cart in the IGA, yeah.
Sorry. And if you want to hear more about it, go listen to last week's show,
because
he gives you the whole... He recounts the story once again about Sakagoivu and the shopping cart incident, as it shall be named. We've got some schedule news to talk about. We've got a CBA to talk about. There's some interesting things out of that. And all of that is in the first segment as we cover all the latest Habs news and updates and hockey news. But then in our second segment, that's when we hit our big topic of the week. And our second segment is Still Searching, Canadians Hunt for a Second Line Center. And we are going to deep dive into what still needs to happen for the Canadians on their roster on the second line at the center position. What are the options? What are the possibilities of things still happening in this season, this off season? Who could solve that solution? It's all sorts of angles to look at. And believe it or not, this week there were some clues that were dropped by some people that give us a little bit more to gnaw on about it. So we're going to break all of that down for you in the second segment. And then we've got a great question of the week to ask you in response to that. And we also have a terrific response from one of our listeners and viewers. In the third segment for last week's Canadians Connection question of the week that we're going to bring to you as well. So we always want to hear from you. We always want to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments, your questions, and your answers to our fan question that we ask every week, the Canadians Connection question of the week. Whenever we get your best submissions, we read them out then the following week on the show for everyone to hear, because maybe there's Habs fans who feel the same way you do, or maybe there's Habs fans who would like to politely disagree with you. And we love to give everybody the chance to do a little bit of that community building. So if you would like to be in touch with us, text us at any time on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 585-3-ROCKET, 585-3-ROCKET. You can always drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find that over at insidethecanadians.com. Or just hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. And don't forget to hit subscribe as well, because we will be here every single week throughout the summer. Just because hockey news has slowed down slightly. There's still a lot of news flying around out there, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here every week to keep you up to date so that when September rolls around, you won't have catching up to do, because you will have had the Canadians Connection with you every week of the summer. All right, so let's start with our roster news. And kind of a big deal for the Canadians' young goaltending prospect, Jakub Dobesh, because he was signed to a two-year, one-way contract extension, AAV of $965,000.
The big deal there is not so much the salary, but the fact that it's a one-way deal for 2 years. Jakub Dobesh proved himself to be worthy of he's an NHL goaltender, and joined the Canadians in around Christmas time. His first NHL start was on December 28th, and he did nothing other than shut out the defending and then future Stanley Cup champion, the Florida Panthers, in his first NHL start on the road. And in his rookie season, you know, having to sit a lot and not getting into a routine, he had a very good 16 games with the Montreal Canadiens in the regular season, posting a 7-4-3 record, 274 goals against, 909 save percentage. And that placed him fourth in the NHL in wins by rookie goaltenders, even though he played just 16 games in the regular season.
Well, and you mentioned that shutout of the Panthers in his NHL debut at the end of December, but his first
five games.
Yeah, his first five games were like lights out. I mean, we're talking big time wins and or shutouts sometimes. You know, again, yes, the Florida Panthers, the Colorado Avalanche were in there, I think.
Yeah, he was getting the more difficult opponents in each of his starts.
And he was knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a really great start for him. And very exciting for him that yes, as you say, 2-year deal, but that it's a one-way contract. That's not to say that he can't play in the AHL. It just means if they sent him to the AHL, they'd still have to pay him NHL money. So, you know, they're usually a little less inclined to do that. So hopefully that means that he's going to be in the NHL this coming season.
And there's still going to be a competition at mm-hmm. training camp. The Canadians brought in Kaapo Kapanen as a depth add, and ideally he'll be the veteran with Jacob Fowler. I think that's the plan in Laval. There's always an opportunity that you can switch things around, and Kähkönen could play. Hasn't played. I think he had one game last year. Hasn't played in the NHL in a bit, but he is capable of doing that if necessary. But I think the plan is for Dobish, if all goes well, to start the season in with the Canadiens.
So he sat down on BPM Sports this week for a one-on-one with Anthony Marcotte. And here is what Dobish had to say about this brand new shiny contract that he has signed.
You know, the length of the contract is perfect. I wanted to stay in Montreal as long as possible. You know, I love playing in Montreal. I love living in Montreal. So, you know, that's amazing that I can stay for two more years. The money-wise part, I'm happy with everything, you know, that I have. You know, I was playing in the AHL last year. For not so much money, and I know how it goes to play in the American Hockey League, and you know, now getting a 2-year one-way contract is a huge accomplishment. I'm really grateful that, you know, I'm able to have this contract. So pretty much at the end of the day, you know, there was definitely some negotiations, but at the end of the day, I'm really proud of me, and I'm really happy, you know, that I can play for the Canadiens for two more years, and no matter what, I feel like we did a good job, and I'm just really excited to start the season.
He's such two things. He's very humble, mm-hmm. And he's always going to tell you what he's thinking and feeling. He's pretty much an open book, which has gotten him in trouble at times. But as he said, he loves playing and living in Montreal, and he really would like to stay as long as possible.
Well, he also, Anthony did also ask him to kind of take a trip back down memory lane about that first NHL playoff game, that shutout against the Florida Panthers, and here's what Jakub Dobish recalled about that.
Yeah, that was definitely something. I wasn't expecting to, you know, to go in the net because, I don't know, I just wasn't expecting it. And getting put in the net and in a NHL playoffs was definitely, it took a lot of effort, a lot of nerves to be able to handle it. So it was definitely not easy, but at the end of the game when we won, and, you know, for a lot of guys, it was a first playoff win. For me, it was the last first playoff game and a win. So it at the end of the game was a really cool moment. And watching the videos after, you know, of the fans and how everyone was enjoying it in the city, and just the enjoyment in the locker room that, you know, we are chasing them. There were a lot of things that happened that night, but it's definitely hard to remember everything. But as I said, it was definitely nerve-wracking, but it was a really cool moment, and I was just really glad to be part of it, and cannot wait to do it next year and, you know, make the playoffs again.
In that particular clip, he was talking about his first action, his very first NHL playoff game. And that was the only game that the Canadians won in the playoffs. They beat the Washington Capitals 6-3. As he said, a lot happened in that game. It was wild. Both starting goalies went out with injuries, Sam Montembeau for the Canadians, and Jakub Dobish was forced into service. He said it wasn't easy. He had to manage his nerves, but he went in, got the job done, got his own first playoff win, and that's something that Sam Montembeau wasn't able to get done, is yet without a playoff win. But Jakub Dobish said that got a win for himself, but for many of the players on the Canadians, that was also their first win. So a really big moment for him that he managed. He was sensational at times throughout those playoffs. Some of the saves he made were, you know, highlight reel worthy, and to go in and have that kind of concentration, you really have to give him credit.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this coming season, hopefully with a little bit of a bigger opportunity. The salary arbitration period has opened. Did it catch anyone off guard to find that Canadiens defenseman Jaden Struble was one of 11 players league-wide who filed for salary arbitration?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dobish also was eligible to file for arbitration. He chose not to. And of the two of them, it's obvious that Dobish had a lot more leverage than Jaden Struble does. Mm-hmm. Jaden Struble has just completed his entry-level contract. So he filed for arbitration. He played 56 games for the Canadians last season, and really over the last 2 years hasn't been able to establish himself as an everyday, every game NHL player. So I don't know how much leverage that he really has. Now, the arbitration hearings, the NHL arbitration hearings, will happen between July 20th and August 4th. And they're always an awkward situation. Player goes in and tells the arbitrator how wonderful he is, and the NHL team, reveals all the warts, says how bad that player's been. Mm-hmm. It's awkward. And so more often than not, these things are resolved before getting to a hearing, and let's hope that this one does as well. Just an interesting wrinkle, and you might want to mention the interesting wrinkle that we looked at before starting to record here.
Well, as you say, you know, a lot of times these things are settled before you get to a hearing, because how awkward do you want it to be, particularly when the agent representing you, I said to you before the show, you know, we were talking about how, okay, you know, not Jaden Struble, really, like for salary arbitration. And I said, well, maybe it's the agent pushing it. And you said, oh, yeah, I meant to look up who his agent is. And you said, well, we know it's probably not Cortex, obviously.
Well, of course it's Cortex. That just makes the story a whole lot better. So
I think Kenty's going to probably say, somebody get this done before the hearing, please.
Yeah. this has to get done before the hearing, because that's going to be way too awkward.
Yeah, I think so. You always like to comment on how the Montreal Canadiens seem to make staff changes, hockey ops staff changes in particular, on the fly, not just in the offseason, but all year long. under the radar without making any official like announcements that, oh, we've promoted this person or we've moved this person to a different department or, well, and apparently another one of those flying under the radar changes in job description has happened, but one that is notable.
It's I've taken to visiting the Canadiens website, particularly the hockey ops page, once a week, and just kind of scrolling through and is there anything different here? And that's how we discovered Albie O'Connell, who was appointed a while back. There wasn't really an announcement to that, and others have been that way. Scott Pellerin and Lori Korpikoski added to player development and so on. In this case, it concerns Donald Audet, former Canadiens player Donald Audet. And since 2012-13 season, he's been an amateur scout for the Montreal Canadiens with a particular focus on the QMJHL. And the Canadiens have had two amateur scouts essentially devoted to the QMJHL. Serge Boisvert is called a crossover scout, but he spent part of his time scouting the Q, as did Donald Audet. And that left Ben Chutron, he's called the Canada scout, to scout the WHL and the OHL. And you heard Kent Hughes, when he came in, talked about breaking down silos and letting people work more for the organization rather than pigeonholing him in these slots. So with the relative number of draft picks that come from the OHL and the WHL compared to the Q, you need more resources poured in there. In this case, it's Donald Audet being reassigned, as I said, from an amateur scout to the professional scouting ranks. So now we have Eric Crawford, who's director of pro scouting, focusing on the pro leagues, the AHL, NHL, that sort of thing. Vince Riondo is a goalie scout and a Russia pro scout. Donald Audet listed as a pro scout, Neil Little as a pro scout, Teddy Purcell, Matt Ryan, all pro scouts. Interesting that there was no announcement made of this. And they've gone from maybe that era where the Canadiens were kind of hypersensitive to the optics of making sure that they thoroughly scouted the Q, not to miss anything. They were always accused of missing players that grew up in their own backyard sort of thing. And we've gotten back maybe to a more realistic use of scouting resources, while remaining nimble and flexible and all those kinds of things like Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon want their organization to be.
Very, very interesting. And good luck to Donald Audet. Don't forget, his son played for the Canadiens organization for a wee bit of time, Dan Audet. We covered him when he was playing in the AHL. And so there was
always a great interview from Dan Audet.
He
was great to us.
Very polite, always really generous with his time. We enjoyed covering him. All right. Well, speaking of the AHL and the Montreal Canadiens, let's take a dip into the Habs prospect report for the week.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Before we get to some Laval Rocket news, however, we should make note that USA Hockey has now released this past week their official roster of of players who were coming to their summer camp, the summer showcase camp ahead of the World Junior Hockey Championship. That'll take place usually end of July, early August. And LJ Mooney is on the roster, so he will be participating for USA Hockey at the World Junior Summer Showcase.
LJ Mooney, who was the talk of Canadiens development camp, both by fans who saw it, by the media, and also by fellow attendees, fellow players at the camp, talking about his electricity on the ice. So he'll be at Team USA camp. We talked about last week that Team Canada extended an invitation to Michael Hage and Owen Protz.
All right. Shifting over to Laval, it was awards week for the AHL this week. They had their annual meetings down in Hilton Head, South Carolina this week. And very nice accolade here for Laval general manager John Sedgwick, who was announced as the inaugural winner of the Bruce Landon Award. And that is an award that honors the top executive of an American Hockey League team, which is it's pretty great that John Sedgwick gets that award the first time around.
Absolutely. And as we know, the Rocket had the best regular season record in the American Hockey League with 101 points. They won the McGregor Kilpatrick Trophy. And then they went on to reach the Eastern Conference final in the playoffs. So the most successful season for the Laval Rocket in their history.
Just the second time that they've reached the finals. John Sedgwick doing a great job there as the general manager. They were also given the team itself was given the President's Award as the AHL Team of the Year.
When you think of where this team was a year ago,
goodness,
the season that they had, a bit a disappointment that they had come off, the whole bit of drama and soap opera with J.F. Hull, and then on July 16th, 1 year ago today, July 16th is 1 year ago this week. Pascal Vincent was named as Laval's head coach, and everything and the influx of all the young talent and the young talent getting to drive the bus, as Patrick Williams said, it really fantastic season for the Laval Rocket.
Definitely. Well deserved. They also made a signing this week. This is a 1 year, two-way AHL contract for a goaltender by the name of Ben Gaudreau. Which likely means being a two-way AHL contract, he's likely to play for the Trois Rivières Lions in the ECHL, but be a call-up option if they should need it in Laval.
Ben had 5 games in the AHL last year for the Rockford Ice Hogs, 43 games, well-used by the Indy Fuel in the ECHL, where he had a winning record, a 2.46 goals against and 9.02 save percentage. So some experience in the NHL. He's a young goaltender, just 22 years of age, and played his junior hockey in the OHL with the Sarnia Sting.
Very nice. Good to have you on board. The AHL also released all of the team's schedules for the 25-26 season. So that meant that Laval fans, get out your calendars and start marking the games that you're really looking forward to seeing or maybe that you want to attend. They're going to open their season again this year on the road, opening it in Winnipeg on October 10th with a matchup against the Manitoba Moose.
Their home opener is going to be that following weekend, October 17th and 18th. That's a Friday, Saturday against the Calder Cup champs, the Abbotsford Canucks. So that'll be an exciting home opener for Laval fans.
And there is a new opponent on the calendar this year. The Rocket are going to face the Calgary Wranglers for the first time ever. That is a haul. But the Flames affiliate are going to host the Rocket at the end of January, and then they will visit Laval at the beginning of April.
So they'll play Calgary, the Wranglers, Abbotsford, talked about, Winnipeg, or the Manitoba Moose, we talked about, and old friends as well, like the Belleville Senators. Laval and Belleville will play each other 10 times. Of course, they'll play the Marlies, which means that the Laval Rocket will play all the Canadian teams. They'll all be on the schedule for this upcoming year.
Which is terrific.
Yeah.
One other side note while we're on the AHL beat here before we move into some general NHL news. We know that Joel Bouchard, former head coach of the Laval Rocket, has now recently found himself as the head coach of the Syracuse Crunch. His title just got a little bit longer because the Tampa Bay Lightning announced this week that in addition to remaining the head coach of the Syracuse Crunch, Joel Bouchard is also now their general manager.
Congratulations to Joel, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's followed his career. Joel Bouchard, even when he was with Laval, wasn't shy telling you, he wasn't shy of telling you that he felt that his future lied in the front office, in hockey ops, being a general manager, and he gets his first chance with the Syracuse Crunch.
So good luck to him. We'll see how that works out. Okay, so shifting back up to the NHL now, in general league news, kind of the worst kept secret in recent weeks, because a lot of this, as it was getting hammered out right before the draft, actually, a lot of this came out. But the NHL and the NHLPA did, in fact, this week ratify a new 4-year collective bargaining agreement. It goes into effect in the 2026-27 season, so not this coming season. This was one of those things we talked about it on draft weekend. It was kind of a really big deal that they held a joint press conference about this before the first round of the draft, because they were getting very close to coming to an agreement on the CBA a year early, because the current CBA doesn't expire until the end of the 25-26 season. So kind of a big deal that they got it done early. Rick, there is a lot to read.
Yeah, we talked about this. They had hammered out the memorandum of understanding, and they had to go back to their membership. The NHL went to to the owners, NHLPA went to the players, and got the approval and ratified that 4-year agreement. We talked about all the items that were changing in previous episodes. There were a couple of new things that kind of came out, and both really had to do with the American Hockey League.
They did. One of them might sound like great. But it could end up being a big deal, depending on what situation a team is in. And that is, we always talk every year at the trade deadline, that after the trade deadline, a team only has 4 non-emergency recalls from the AHL for the remainder of the regular season. And so, you know, if they paper transaction anyone, which we know we talked about this, that paper transactions are going away. If they're going to quote unquote paper anyone, they actually have to go serve a day in the AHL before being recalled. But if they're going to do that with anyone, those recalls then count against that 4 non-emergency recall maximum. And if you have prospects that you want to give a chance to as you get later in the season and so forth, you know, you really have to manage those well. Well, they've bumped that number now to 5. So it will be 5 non-emergency AHL recalls after the trade deadline, which might sound insignificant, but like I said, depending on the team and their situation season to season, could be a big deal for them.
And the other, I think, is even more important.
Yes.
And that talks about 19-year-olds playing in the American Hockey League.
People have been pounding the table about this for a long time. And I think in a year where now we've seen this new CHL upheaval with the new agreement with the NCAA, then I think, you know, we've talked about this in the past, that if the NCAA thing was going to happen, then the American Hockey League was going to kind of want their piece of the pie as well. And NHL teams were going to want some leverage, I guess, or some leniency in terms of the AHL. So we know that the way the agreement between the NHL and the CHL works right now is that players playing in the CHL may not play in the AHL until they turn 20. And we've seen cases in the past where if the NHL club wasn't quite ready to keep a prospect, that, you know, unfortunately, the only option was to send them back to the CHL. And sometimes maybe they've learned all they needed to learn in the CHL. Maybe there wasn't a lot of room for them to grow there anymore. And why can't they just go to the AHL? Well, it's looking now. So this isn't set in stone yet. This is just the NHL saying in the CBA that they are going to reopen the discussion about in the agreement with the CHL to allow 19-year-olds to play in the AHL. However, it would be that each NHL club would be limited to selecting one 19-year-old prospect that they have in the CHL each season and selecting one 19-year-old to play in the AHL. So it's, I saw someone on Twitter, this is kind of a good way to put it. It's basically say it's kind of like the CHL's exceptional status almost. It's like, okay, pick a player to grant quote unquote AHL status a year before they normally would be able to go play in the American Hockey League. And so we had Chris Peters on the show last week, prospect expert and draft expert. And he said to someone on Twitter, it's rare to see the NHL not get what they want in these kinds of situations. Yeah. So I imagine that this will happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. And I like that it's not just a blanket. Okay, well, if you're 19, you have the option to play in the AHL. No, they have to select one, and they don't have to select anybody per season. But if they do, they can just select one.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I think it's great.
Opening up options for the teams, opening up options for their prospects.
Definitely. Speaking of options for prospects, Gavin McKenna, and we talked, did I just mention exceptional status? Gavin McKenna, who is hands down been discussed quite frequently already to be the by and far favorite first overall selection next year in the 2026 NHL entry draft, has made a decision, and he has committed to Penn State University men's hockey for next season, a gigantic get for the NCAA, a gigantic get for Penn State hockey.
And Penn State hockey is relatively young in terms of NCAA hockey, but what a program that they've built there. And we got to see it firsthand a number of years ago when Cole Caulfield was at Wisconsin. Wisconsin was visiting Penn State and beautiful facilities. Guy Gadowski, the head coach, and has built this program, lots of money from the Padulas. And what a great program it is, and what a get for them to bring in Gavin McKenna. Of course, who has spent his junior career with the Medicine Hat Tigers and done pretty much all he needed to do there. And now we'll get to play against older players, college and older players with the Penn State program to advance his game, to take his game to a new level.
As you mentioned, the Penn State program is relatively young in the storied NCAA men's hockey history. Guy Gadowski has built it from the ground up. It is his baby. You know, he's done a phenomenal job. Penn State going to the Frozen Four for the first time this past season. I believe they were eliminated in the semifinals, but it was the first time in club history that they made it to the Frozen Four. That's a big deal. They keep making big progressive steps forward in their program. And in fact, if you're not as familiar with Penn State hockey, if you head over to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadians.com, just search our channel for Penn State. When we were there a few years ago to catch up with Cole Caulfield, I also produced a separate video on Penn State hockey and the facilities and what Guy Gadowski has built. We had a an exclusive interview with Guy Gadowski himself down at ice level when the building was empty. And it's a great little peek into the world of NCAA hockey and Penn State hockey in particular, if you're not familiar with it. So go find that, watch it. It's a really fun few, it's just a few minutes. But it gives you a really great feel for what Gavin McKenna is going to experience next year. And I can say that since I'm a resident of Pennsylvania, I'm probably going to try to find my way to make it to Penn State to watch a game this year. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And make sure you check out this commercial that we've got coming up, because if you're interested, if it's summertime and if you're trying to figure out if you'd like to get involved in hockey journalism this coming season, the way to get involved with Rocket Sports Media is right in this commercial break. So you're going to want to check that out. And then stick around, because our big topic is coming up next: the Canadiens hunt for a second line center. Let's dive into that and really take a look at where things stand right now and what could or couldn't happen over the next few weeks. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join Our Team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Amy Johnson, your host for the show. If you'd like to follow me over on X, feel free to do so. You just find me at my handle at Flyers Rule. Of course, with me in the studio is my co-host, our president and founder, Rocket Stevens. Rocket Stevens, is that what we're calling you?
Is that my new nickname?
I guess so.
All right.
Our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You'll want to follow him on X at Rocket Sports. Don't forget to subscribe to the Canadians Connection podcast or our YouTube channel. We want to make sure that you stay informed all summer long. And hey, if listening to that last commercial, if you are interested in joining the Rocket Sports team and would like to explore how you could contribute and how you can work with us, be sure to reach out to us. Hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. Just drop Rick an email right there and we'd love to talk to you. Okay, so we've arrived at the point in the hockey season where, you know, general day-to-day activity is starting to slow down a little bit. You know, there was a frantic few weeks during the draft, start of free agency, but now, you know, GMs, the staff, they've all started to trickle back home, started to head to the cottage for summer vacations, spend time with their families, and things of that nature. You know, Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes, they made a couple of significant trades trying to advance the rebuild. They've got Noah Dobson on the roster now, Zach Bolduc on the roster. And they also did a little bit of work on the free agent market, signing, you know, depth pieces like Rick just mentioned in the last segment, goaltender Kaapo Kähkönen and also forward Sammy Blais. And this is the kind of the time of the year that we see movement around the NHL get to a little bit of a lull. End of July, definitely the month of August. But there's a little bit of a different feeling this year, Rick, for the Montreal Canadiens, like they've got some unfinished business that they still need to tackle before training camp opens.
Well, I think it's partly because of how they've communicated they said there's a mandate. We heard even during the draft The folks that came to the mic and at the end of season media availabilities. There's a need at second line center. How is that going to be filled? Who's going to fill that second line center slot? We talked about it a little bit last week, and I revealed my first look at the 2025-2026 Canadians lineup at hockeyhotstove.com. Then there, Chris G came out with his look at a lineup. There's been other projections done. Now, you know, the Canadians have said doing this by committee, whether it would be Kirby Dach or Alex Newhook, or at finding someone to play with Ivan Demidov. That seems to be the only for sure player on that second line. But, you know, it's an open question, and it's an open question because the Canadians have kept that alive. It's an open question because of you know, them declaring that need. There's media who are keep hearing these leaks that come out, teams leaking that there's a bit of activity. So it's something on the minds of every Montreal Canadiens fans. They're talking about it on social media. They're asking us questions about it, and I think it's really important for us to look at what are the options, what's realistic, you know, what might happen before the start of the regular season.
So we're going to take you through this, and we're going to examine this from all angles, as Rick just mentioned, to really kind of try to suss out what the possibilities could be, what really isn't likely, and what we might see happen, where we might see some movement, and really, you know, if they do get this done or make a decision about this in this off season, what the most viable options for them to do so are. And so we're going to start with internal candidates, meaning who do the Canadians already have who could fill this role? Because let's remind you that Kent Hughes did say that while he's not saying things that he's done, if push came to shove, he did say he's comfortable starting the season with the roster that he currently has.
That's right. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, so let's start with the first name that I know can be pretty polarizing depending on which fan you speak to, and that's Kirby Dach. And Kirby Dach has a gigantic asterisk and question mark next to his name for anyone when it comes to talking about his viability as a 2C.
Well, certainly, and that's because Kirby Dach showed some promise, you know, now it's a couple years back when it goes to training camp, and there was even some question, can Kirby Dach project to be a 1C on this team? And then he's befallen by knee injuries, knee surgery twice over the past 2 years, and even when he was in the lineup and healthy, he just didn't look like the same player. Now, you know, Kirby Dach has been working out at Brassard. It's been reported that he's in good shape. But Jeff Gorton was asked about Kirby Dach, he said, we have some centers that can step up. And the quote was, maybe Kirby Dach will, ? We'll see. But I really don't consider the opening game of our final roster. That being a deadline for them. So this is still a question, an open question not only by the fans, but by the leadership as well. Kirby Doc, is he an option? Of course. But we'll see what happens. We'll see. And I think that the Canadians are, and they've mentioned that the leash, he won't have quite a long leash to prove himself as he's had in the past. He's going to have to show something in training camp, or they'll move to other options.
Well, another one of those options is another guy that's got a big question mark and asterisk next to his name, and that's Alex Newhook.
And Alex Newhook, with his speed, has he's been great on the forecheck, and spent a little bit of time with Ivan Demidov. But for the most part, Alex Newhook, he looks good doing what he's doing, but it hasn't really amounted to much of anything, and he hasn't been able to win a faceoff to save his life. And with respect to faceoffs, the best last year, Nick Suzuki or Jake Evans, but the player who led faceoffs, and when the Canadians needed a faceoff one, it was Christian Dvorak who went over the boards. And of course, Dvorak has moved on to the Philadelphia Flyers. So faceoffs are going to have to be important. And that's going to be something that Doc and Newhook are going to have to have improved on over the summer.
Well, speaking of faceoffs, we're next going to talk about Zach Bolduc. And yes, I didn't read that incorrectly. Zach Bolduc. We know he's a winger. So why are we including him on this list?
Well, interesting. Zach Bolduc, we know, we know he's a good skater. He's a good forechecker. He's has got a good shot. He is working on being a physical player, but he's a winger and has been a winger all of his pro career, and the majority of even his junior career. He's not been a center. He really hasn't played center since he was 16 or 17 years old with Rimouski. However, it was revealed this week, Zach Bolduc was at that golf tournament in Quebec City, and he said that the day after the trade was finalized, bringing him to the Canadiens, he met with Jeff Gorton, Kent Hughes, and Marty St. Louis in Broussard, and the message that they gave him is work on your face-offs, because it's a need with this team. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, when he went to Broussard, he started working with Marc Bureau. We remember that the Canadians hired Bureau as a face-off consultant in January. That was supposed to extend for the duration of the regular season. Whether that's continuing, I expect it is. Because Zach Bolduc said that he's going to practice with Marc Bureau throughout the summer, and that's going to be part of his focus. The interesting part is that the Canadians mostly have right shot players and who are at center taking the face of Bolduc's left, like Newhook, and could be tasked with taking the left side draws. So maybe this whole thing is going to be by need, that whenever you need somebody, it might be Bolduc, it might be Newhook, it might be Kirby Doc, whoever can get the job done. This is something that's obviously very much in flux, and the Canadians just want to make sure they have all the bases covered and as many options as they can.
When we're looking at internal candidates, the other centers that should be in the conversation would be Jake Evans, Oliver Kapanen, and Owen Beck.
Now, you don't think of those guys as fulfilling the vacancy or the void at center in the second line. Jake Evans did fill in a little bit out of need on the second line. And is that ideal? No, of course not. But he's very competent on the faceoff. The Canadians want Oliver Kapanen as as a center, and maybe there's a spot for him on the third line. Could he be forced in to service with if injuries or other things arise? Yeah, I suppose so. But you know, he would more likely take the place of a Jake Evans if Evans gets bumped up. Don't forget about Owen Beck. He's been asked to play on the wing. He was asked to play on the wing last year in Laval to give him more experience at and opportunities to get into the lineup, the Canadiens lineup at different positions. But he is a center and is pretty good at least in his junior career and at the AHL level with respect to faceoffs.
And don't forget, coming down the line, this isn't an immediate solution. This is future, is Michael Hage.
And one of the things, you know, the Canadiens at the draft didn't have necessarily all the information that they needed to make a decision if they were going out shopping. They wanted to see Michael Hage at development camp. They have. And Michael Hage has, is developing into a more physical player. He said, one of the quotes from him, at development camp, quote, "I can be a creative player." Well, that's good if you're playing with Demidov, who makes plays and can play physically. He also went on to say, quote, "Being stronger will really help me. When you play at the college level, it's not that easy. The players are older. That's the most important thing, to be stronger when the next season starts." He revealed that he had put on 10 pounds between the end of his season and the beginning of development camp. So he's hovering around that 200 pound mark. And that's going to be important. Are we saying that, you know, Michael Hage is an immediate solution? No, of course not. That's going to be something for the future. But the information that the Canadiens gathered now about Michael Hage, does that give them more confidence to be patient and not go out and make an immediate move? You know, I mentioned Pascal Vincent earlier. With that whole situation, and we think how successful Pascal Vincent was with Laval. The Canadiens didn't chase Pascal Vincent last year. Remember, he had had a rough season in Columbus, and didn't necessarily have people banging down his door. The Canadiens had re-signed J.F. Uhl. But then J.F. Uhl decided, you know, his dream job came available. And the Canadiens, just through their patience or their luck, that Pascal Vincent fell into their laps. Can they be patient? Sure they can. So maybe a temporary solution would be best for them now until Michael Hage is ready to inherit that that second line role.
It's a gamble. And is it one that they're willing to take? As you say, you know, yes, they did end up getting Pascal Vincent when you're looking at that analogy. But as you also said, he fell into their lap. It wasn't the plan that they had made.
That's right.
So it wasn't that they had decided to go with Pascal Vincent, and that, you know, so things have to fall into place in the right order and in the right way.
Mark Bergeron pursued Cody Glass hard. That was the player he wanted. Nick Suzuki fell into his lap instead. Sometimes things just work out.
That's right. All right. So internal candidates, are you excited about any of those? Do you think any of those are a solution, whether it's long-term or whether it's kind of that stopgap that Rick was just talking about while we're waiting for Michael Hage to arrive on the scene, probably in the 26-27 season? Regardless of how you feel about the internal candidates, you know, as we've talked about how this is now the part of the summer where things start to wind down and get a little quiet, but are the Canadiens actually done? There's There's rumblings this week. There have been some clues dropped this week as to whether or not the Canadiens are done with trades or free agency signings this summer. And Rick, we're just going to go through a few of them. Dave Pignata was one who was out there saying, don't count out Montreal.
Yeah. And listen, we're not going to, you know, there are lots of rumor mongers on social media. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about folks who teams feel comfortable leaking information to. Dave Pignata from the Fourth Period. And he says that the Canadians are very active and still looking at the 2C position. And that he came out with that this week.
Okay. Frank Saravelli falls into that category as well. And for some of you, you might enjoy what Frank Saravelli had to say this week.
Frank Saravelli, and all of this is putting together the puzzle pieces that have been dropped. Frank Saravelli from Daily Faceoff says there's a good chance that Mike Matheson could be on the move. The Canadians could keep him if he will agree to a reasonable contract, and that both in terms of money and term, more importantly, term, or they're comfortable moving on from him. Just keep that in the back
ding,
of your
ding,
mind.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Okay. So remember, Kent Hughes said that his summer mandate was to fill the second line center slot. He said that at the end of the season. But it is July 1st. Media availability at the end of when they were done doing what they were going to do on the opening day of free agency. He did state that he'd like to make one more trade before the season starts.
Now, he acknowledged that it may not be possible, but it signaled that, you know, he's not done. He said, well, okay, I'm comfortable with going into the season without any more moves, but I'd really like to get one more thing done, whether or not that's possible. We'll see.
And then this week, Jeff Gorton came out and confirmed they're not done yet. And in just as many words.
Yeah. He said, quote, people have been saying for a while that we might need a second line center. Yeah, of course. And he spoke with Arpan Basu and Gaudin. And said that he expects more trades around the activity around the league before training camps begin. He said there's probably going to be a scenario where there's probably going to be some trades between now and training camp because people have the money and people have the needs. I think you might see some hockey trades, maybe a defenseman for forwards.
Mm.
Or maybe vice versa. So he left it wide open, and yet there is a feeling that there are quite a few teams that they're not finished yet. Detroit, Toronto, Las Vegas. The Los Angeles Kings. There are a lot of teams who they need to get some things done. Jeff Gorton figures that there are teams out there, and maybe he was hinting that the Canadians could be one of them.
We're just going to have to wait to see. It's the hardest part. But we can speculate, educated guessing. We looked at the internal candidates, so let's look at some external candidates. If Kent Hughes gets his wish and gets to make one more move before the end of the summer. If Jeff Gorton is accurate in saying they are not done yet and believes that around the league activity could pick up before training camps begin, who are the candidates around the league that the Habs could be shopping for? And we'll go back to who everyone thought was going to come from St. Louis, and that was not Zach Bolduc.
Right. And that was staying up prior to the July 1st midnight hour because Jordan Kyrou had a no trade clause kicking in, but the Jordan Kyrou talk hasn't gone away, and there's been more smoke about Jordan Kyrou to the Canadiens than any other player for sure. And why would St. Louis want to give up on Jordan Kyrou? Frank Cervelli says that, quote, "I think St. Louis is pretty motivated to move that contract." Speaking of Kyrou, you know, Kyrou isn't, he's a great player, 27 years old. He's got a little bit of size, 6'1", 196, right shot. So maybe not that left shot player that the Canadiens are looking for. You know, get you 35 goals, maybe 70 points, $8 million contract. Frank Cervelli says that St. Louis is looking to move that contract. I think of him more as a winger than a center, but if they're willing to convert, you know, Zach Bolduc, then maybe they'd be open to a player like Jordan Kyrou.
So if Jordan Kyrou isn't an option, who else could be a potential pick? Well, let's move a little farther west out to Seattle in the Kraken and 29-year-old Jared McCann.
Yeah, Jared McCann, a little bit older, as you said, 29 years old, has size. He is a left shot. You know, a reasonable contract, $5 million, 25 goals, maybe 60, he'll get you 60 points. Chris Johnston says Seattle might be compelled to move someone like Jared McCann. Dave Pagnotta says the Seattle Kraken remain open to moving forward Jared McCann if the right offer presents itself. He's a consistent player. Why are they willing to give up on him? Well, the Seattle Kraken, first of all, they've been very active with Jason Botterill. And they've got the opposite problem, I guess. They have a ton of centers. Chandler Stephenson, Matty Beniers, Shane Wright, Jared McCann. They brought in Frederick Gaudreau, and in their pipeline, they got Berkeley Catton and Jake O'Brien. So that's why Johnston, Pagnotta, and others are saying that they'd be willing to move a Jared McCann, and the Canadiens have been mentioned as a team that might be interested.
Then we can move a little bit south. This would be an interesting one if they could get it done. From Dallas, the 25-year-old Jason Robertson.
Yeah, moving south and moving to a little bit more of a reach. I can't see this one happening. However, there has been chatter about Jason Robertson, 25 years, 6'3", 200 pounds, left shot, 80-point player. As far as a contract, he's looking for a contract extension above his $7.75 million. Daily Faceoff says Jim Neal will not exceed the number that he has in mind for a contract extension. If there's an impasse, they're not opposed to trading him. Now, again, he's more of a winger. He is a winger. But, you know, any team that has the opportunity to get a Jason Robertson would be very happy. But again, we're getting into territory that's very unlikely, I would say.
Now, this wouldn't be a trade scenario. This would be a signing scenario. It's an interesting one, though. This would be Evgeny Kuznetsov, which, okay, that's I'm going to use the word interesting again. That would be, for a couple of reasons, would be an interesting addition.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Older, for sure, 33 years old. You know, he has some size, left shot, and is a free agent. Is he still, at this stage of his career, capable of being a second line center in the NHL? I think that's a big question. We know that he played in the KHL last season for SKA St. Petersburg. And in fact, and here's the reason why people are suggesting it as a, you know, a 1 year, a 2 year solution for the Canadians. And that is that Kuznetsov and Demidov were often deployed on the same line with St. Petersburg during the 2024-25 season, and were able to combine for a lot of Demidov's points. Kuznetsov is planning on being in the NHL this upcoming season. His agent said that 10 teams have from the NHL have expressed interest. Sportsnet has said during the free agent coverage has said that he would be a possible option for the Montreal Canadiens. However, in what's being called an exclusive, and this is under this is a website called Le Page Sportif, it says that Kuznetsov is not currently in the Canadiens' plans, and they spoke with Kuznetsov's agent Shumi Babiev. And Babiev said, I spoke with Montreal. The leadership respects Evgeny. And in the agent's opinion, Evgeny would be a good fit. He wants to play in Montreal, but we're being told that there's no room. I don't think that he'll get the chance. So the Canadians seem to be focused on their other options, whether those be internal or whether they still hope to swing a trade to fill their second line center, or if they look, you know, to the future. And it seems that the Montreal Canadiens are going to pass on what many thought was kind of a natural sort of temporary placeholder band-aid solution.
Well, and finally, we can't ignore the one that everyone's making noise about, which is, oh my gosh, Sidney Crosby is going to play for the Montreal Canadiens.
Sidney Crosby is going to finish his career with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And until I hear anything, it's fun to see him mocked up in a Canadiens jersey. And I know all the sentimentality factors tied to that. I don't see it happening.
So there are the obvious, not so obvious, but those are the kind of legitimate possibilities for if Kent Hughes is going to solve this 2C issue that he himself said was his mandate for this summer, and that's the one thing he hasn't shored up yet. These are what's likely to be the possible solutions, whether it's internal candidates, Doc, Newhook, you know, one of the younger players,
Bolduc,
whether it's waiting, as you say, playing the long game and waiting for Michael Hage's arrival in another year, or if they do get active on the trade market again, go after Kyrou, go after Jared McCann, go after Jason Robertson, or I don't know, go really out of the box, sign a Kuznetsov, or manage to get Sidney Crosby somehow. Who knows? there's a lot of things to juggle, and there's a lot of possibilities and options. And it's hard to predict. You know, it's easier to lay out the options, much easier than it is to predict what direction this team and this management group is going to go in. But our Canadiens connection question of the week for you this week is, who do you think should be the Canadiens' second line center next season? Not in 2 years when Hage arrives, not in 3 years or four. Who for next season should be the Canadiens' second line center, and why? We ask you to, of course, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853 Rocket. You can drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You can leave a comment at HabsHotStove.com. That's our home at Hockey Hot Stove. Leave a comment in there. Or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. Answer the question, who do you think should be the Canadiens' second line center next season, and why? We're reading your best responses next week on the show. Let's see how many people will agree with you. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch for the Canadiens the remainder of this offseason. And it'll be exciting if we have some news to talk about here within the next few weeks. All right, we're going to take another break here on Canadians Connection. And when we come back, we do have a terrific response to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week and some more things to get you set for the week ahead. So don't miss it and stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
And welcome back to episode 356 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget to hit subscribe and don't forget to hit like, hit the share button too, whether you're listening on your podcast platform or if you're watching on YouTube. If you could just do us a favor and just tap that share button and just share this episode with your friends and followers, it goes a long way towards helping us to really grow our audience, and we would definitely appreciate that. It doesn't cost you a thing. It just takes a second to do it. Of course, as we mentioned, if you're not doing so already, be sure you're following, you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. That's over at InsideTheCanadians.com. And just before the break, I mentioned Hockey Hot Stove. Don't forget, that is the new home of our written content for Rocket Sports. We've joined the inaugural crew over at the newest league-wide journalism site, HockeyHotStove.com. We're proud to be covering the Montreal Canadiens for those fine folks, founded by former NHL defenseman Chris Therrien, headed up also by Bill Meltzer and Michael Algello, and really happy to be over there. Be sure you're checking that out daily, and hop into the forums tab while you're over there as well to jump into the very boisterous conversations and pretty fun debates that happen about Canadians content or any kind of hockey content that you want to talk about over there at Hockey Hot Stove. Also, don't forget, get us your answers for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Who do you think should be the Canadiens' second-line center next season, and why? When you do that, we're going to take the best responses that we get, and we're going to do what we're about to do right now, and that is read them out on the show in this segment. Last week, we asked you which Habs prospect impressed you the most at development camp, and why? And we have one of our frequent commenters really outdid himself this week with a really well thought out response. And so we're actually going to double this up a little bit. I'm going to take the beginning of this to read out. And as we do every week, if you ever, you know, we encourage you to submit your responses to our Canadians Connection question of the week. But you're also welcome to submit your responses to fan responses that you hear us read on the show. If you agree with somebody, if you don't agree with them, let us know, and we'll get that debate going for you right here on the show. So Center Heist says, this is a hard one, but Hage, Thorpe, Papanekis, and LJ Mooney stood out for me. Again, we asked who stood out at development camp and why. He said, I see a very special future in Thorpe. I think Papa, he calls Papanekis Papa. He says, I think Papa will be good for grit and defensive play. Nice grit and size in both. Just Thorpe has offensive talent as well. He's the whole package. I love Mooney's talent, but his size will be the issue. Sorry, I really like the kid as well, but I think Habs already have to unload a couple of smaller forwards, those being Newhook, and Galley is just a special case. He plays big. But I think for him, it'll be retirement time. He's talking about Gallagher. I think for him, it'll be retirement time after two more seasons, or he may have to be traded if he continues playing once his contract is up. But they sensibly in the future should only have Hudson and Caulfield on the small side. Now, I will say, if Mooney can be a galley type, he may be an exception like Galley has been, but that would be it for the small guys. All other small players in the system will have to be in trade packages or just let go unless they accept the AHL life role. Great show as usual. And he's got a PS here for you, Rick.
All right.
Says, Rick, I'm a huge Heinemann fan, too. I hated to see him go, but I will tell you, this Bolduc kid is going to be a pleasant surprise. He has a much higher ceiling on the offensive side than our Heinemann, and his grit is coming nicely. Believe me, I really think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I said he absolutely has more offensive instinct, that is Bolduc, than Heinemann. So I thoroughly agree with Center Heist here. He goes on to talk about his concerns, and that is the impact of losing Armia, Dvorak, and Heinemann all at once. But at least we have a replacement for Heinemann, he says. Concern, we lose a lot in Armia, who's great on the penalty kill and on the defensive side. And unless we get a second line center, we're going to even notice the loss of Dvorak more. He was a good penalty killer as well. We'll suffer in that area unless we have kids ready to step up. Problem is, the only kid that is ready is Kapanen, Oliver Kapanen. And in my projection, I had Kapanen making the team in the fall. He goes on, I'm seriously concerned about Waugh and Beck. I think Waugh will be let go one way or the other. Unfortunately, unless he has a massive camp. He was given every opportunity. Mm-hmm. They handed him the keys, and he basically turned his back on them, unfortunately. I think Waugh will be let go one way or the other. And Beck, I think maybe it's just a wrong timing for him for the Habs organization. He seems to have defensive skill, but he would only eventually be a replacement for Evans, and sorry, Evans has more offense to offer and all the center and defensive responsibilities, so I don't think he can beat out Evans. One thing that Owen Beck has, Jake Evans doesn't have, is a physical side to his game. Mm-hmm. And the offense is coming for, in his rookie season, Owen Beck had 44 points in 64 games with Laval, so not bad at all. Again, I think the Canadians would like to see him at wing, at least for now, and that may be a way of getting both Owen Beck and Evans in the lineup at the same time. He goes on and says, the one guy I'd keep an eye on is Thorpe. He's got way more talent than all the other players I mentioned. If the player that's going to be a dark horse, it'll be him. He's going to be a special third liner at some point. Keep them coming. You're both awesome. And that coming again from Center Heist.
Thank you very much. Really well thought out reply. Very detailed. We love to hear that. If you've got something you want to add, if you have something you'd like to say in response, or if you just want to answer this week Canadians Connection question of the week, drop us a line. You know how to do it. And we'll see. I think there's going to be some more news. There's definitely always some news to talk about. And we're going to find another big topic to sink our teeth into next week. There's always there are always aspects of Montreal Canadiens hockey for us to talk about all year long and take an in-depth look at. So make sure you have a great week this week. But be back on Saturday, July 19th for our very next episode, episode 357 of the Canadians Connection podcast. We will see you there, and we will have lots to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. So thank you very much again for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.